Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at three ancient examples of faith. And so, if you notice, all the way through chapter 11, you see these two terms, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And so we see, by faith, God's great men and women of old done many great things in the past. We observed last week as we opened Hebrews chapter 11, acknowledging that Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on faith in the Bible. And we saw last week that faith really is the trust in God that does as He directs. The trust in God that does as He directs. And then last week also I pointed out that faith is not blind belief. It's not a leap in the dark. That our faith has a lot of good evidence to support it, to show that it's real and true and holds great promise for each one of us. And so today we're going to be looking at three examples of faith. The first one we're going to look at is a shepherd named Abel. A shepherd named Abel. Let me turn your attention back to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts. And through it, though it being dead, still speaks. So with the mention of Abel here, the writer takes us all the way back to the dawn of human history. Cain and Abel, we're talking about Adam and Eve's children, our first parents' children. And we are told that these two brothers brought an offering to the Lord, and that the Lord accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's. And so the question is, why? Why did God reject Cain's? Why did God accept Abel's? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us why. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Faith was the difference. So how does faith come? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Apparently, God had instructed Cain and Abel, these two brothers, in what he desired in worship. Abel listened to God, while Cain did not. And look at the result. Abel's worship was accepted, and Cain's was rejected. The Hebrew writer says that by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. And God testifying about his gifts, showing that he was indeed righteous. So how did God show his approval? How did God show his approval of that sacrifice? What happened? It could have been that, as we see in many sacrifices in the Bible, where maybe a fire came down from heaven and consumed that offering. Perhaps that's what happened. We don't know. We're not told. Maybe God told Abel that your offering pleased me. Maybe God just told him that. And you think, well, you say, well, that might be strange. Well, God spoke to Cain, did he not? If he spoke to Cain, why wouldn't he speak to Abel? So he very well could have spoken to Abel. The point for us here is that God was pleased with Abel's offering. And isn't that the whole point of worship? To please God. And look at the last part of verse 4. And through faith, though he is dead, still speaks. Did you know that people often say more in their death than in their life? I mean, Abel's been speaking for thousands of years now. Do it right. Do it God's way. right? And so, Abel's example for us today is an example we need to follow. And what Abel would say to us is simply this: do it God's way and you will be accepted. Do it God's way and you will be accepted. That's what happened with Cain and Abel. Abel, by faith, offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by the way, when it comes to worship, worship is not a matter of human invention. It's a matter of divine instruction. And God in His Word tells us how He desires to be worshiped. And it's up to us to bring Him the worship that He calls for and that He asks for and that He desires. Because that's what faith does. Faith is the trust in God that does as He directs. But we also have another example of ancient faith here, and that is a preacher by the name of Enoch. Now, in Jude, verses 14 and 15, it tells us that Enoch was a prophet who preached on the judgment of God. He is the seventh from Adam. And Genesis informs us that Enoch did not always walk with the Lord. According to Genesis, Enoch started walking with the Lord after the birth of his son Methuselah at the age of 65. So for the first 65 years of Enoch's life, he didn't walk with God. But when he had Methuselah, things changed. And he decided that he was going to serve the Lord. And he stayed at it for the next 300 years. Now, it's not uncommon for people to make a choice to serve God after they have children. Because children is a huge responsibility. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was that child and that awesome responsibility of rearing a child. And it was a tremendous responsibility and he knew it. And so he knew he needed God's help. And so, Enoch, after the birth of his son Methuselah, served the Lord for 300 years. The Hebrew writer says that as a result of his faith, he was transferred from earth to heaven. He never saw death. He never died. The Bible says that God took him. God took him. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5, so by faith, Enoch lived a life that pleased God. Notice verse 5. He obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Three words summed up this man's life. He pleased God. Those three words. What about you? Do those three words sum up your life as well? He pleased God. This man brought joy and delight to the heart of God. And to think that he brought joy and delight to the heart of God is an amazing thing. But I want you to notice verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Because he was a man of faith, he served the Lord for 300 years. Think about that. 300 years he stayed at it day after day after day after day. He pleased God. He pleased God. So much so that God came to Enoch and said, Enoch, I want to take you to my house. And God took him. And Enoch didn't die. He was transferred. And so God was so pleased with this man's life that God decided to just take him on to heaven ahead of time. Think about that. What a testimony. this man had. He pleased God. He pleased God. Regardless of a person's goodness or morality or contributions or betterment to society, he does not please God unless his actions are prompted by faith. And that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to convey to us here. And then the last example we have is a builder by the name of Noah. So verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so of these three men, this guy's story obviously is the most popular. We're more familiar with Noah than we would be Abel or Enoch. And so we know this guy's story. And this guy's story is four chapters long. So we don't have time to read the whole story of Noah. But you know the story, right? You know the story already. You see, the world had become corrupt and wicked. In Genesis chapter 5, or chapter 6, verse 5 says, the thoughts of mankind were on evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and that he was grieved in his heart. Listen, man's evilness didn't take God by surprise. God's not surprised. Man didn't become something that God didn't think could happen. God knew what man could become. This is stated for us, not for God. All right? And so that's important to see. And so the Lord said in chapter in verse 7, he says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. And then in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You see, Noah was a bright light in a dark world. And God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to put your wife and your sons and their wives and many animals so that they will survive this flood that is going to come upon the whole earth. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And going back to what is faith? Faith is the trust in God that does as he directs. Noah trusted God. Noah moved with God, did what God called him to do. And without a doubt, Noah must have seemed to his peers as being the strangest of these three, right? So here's a guy building a big boat, and it had never rained before. So it had never rained on the earth before. That's not how water, the ground was watered from below. And so water came up from the ground and watered the plants. It didn't come down from above. And so here's Noah building a big ark. Why? Why? And no one has ever seen that much water. And by the way, there's no waterway where Noah is as well. So he must have seemed very, very strange building this ark many, many hundreds of miles away from any water. But Noah believed God, and Noah did what God said. Because faith acts, faith obeys, faith does. And the Apostle Peter writes concerning the flood of Noah's day in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 7. He says, but the present heavens and the earth by his word are being preserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So just as God destroyed the world of Noah's day, once again, God is going to destroy this present world. He's going to do so with fire, but there is going to be a destruction of the heavens and the earth. We're told very clear what is going to happen. And the Hebrew writer says, by faith, Noah was warned by God of things not seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. So here's the question. So Noah, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. What will you do? What is your response going to be? Are you like Noah? God is telling you ahead of time that there is a judgment coming. This present world is going to be destroyed one day by fire. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. And so will you move with fear and prepare salvation for yourself? Will you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that your sins can be forgiven and you can have a relationship with God? So a couple of questions I want to end with. I think are important when it comes to faith. Number one, if faith were the topic of conversation in your neighborhood, all right, your neighbors get together and you're talking about faith, would your name come up? And then here's another one. If God were to update Hebrews 11 today, would your name be in there? Would you be a man or a woman of faith? See, that's what we have in Hebrews 11. We have Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abram and Sarah and Moses and Jacob and Joseph and Isaac and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. All of these great men and women of God did great things for God by faith. So let me encourage you today, if you've not yet put your faith, your trust, your hope in Jesus, let me encourage you to do that today. So we're going to sing a song, and as we sing this song, it's to encourage you to get out of your seat and come forward. And if it means to obey the gospel, then obey the gospel. If it's to confess sin, then confess sin. But whatever it is that you believe God's calling you to do, pray that you will do that as we stand and sing.